Artificial intelligence is all the rage in the tech world these days, and no wonder. There appears to be no end to what AI might be able to do. Here's just one example. Healthcare, where artificial intelligence could someday perform clinical and outpatient services like diagnosing the flu, while doctors handle the more critical cases. So some folks say that AI is simply freeing humans of mundane tasks so we can pursue more complex or joyful activities. But what if AI is better at those things too? Such as writing music. Rachel Miro, who covers Silicon Valley for member station KQED, tells us AI has entered that new frontier.
For starters, we're way past the advent of computer-composed music. That hurdle was crossed back in 1957, when two professors at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign programmed the Iliac Suite for String Quartet on the Iliac One computer. Another big moment in computer music history, 1996, when Brian Eno's album Generative Music 1 was released on floppy disk, an old form of data storage familiar to baby boomers. Here's Eno back in the day talking about it on the BBC radio program Mixing It.
To explain this simply, in the computer there's a little synthesizer, basically, and what I do is provide sets of rules which tell the computer how to make that sound card work.
Today, scientists at lots of tech companies are working on something a little more sophisticated. Research scientist Doug Eck runs a group at Google called Magenta.
I guess the best way to put it is it's easier to help a machine learn to solve a problem with data than to try to build the solution in.
Translation, they're crafting software that loosely imitates how your brain works. Havana, ooh, nah, nah. Half of my heart is in Havana, ooh, nah, nah. It's amazing how much we take for granted enjoying Camila Cabello and Young Thug singing this song, Havana. Musicians and scientists will tell you there's a shockingly long list of things your brain is responding to, including rhythm, tonality, repetition, but also the way the melody develops. So it's not exactly the same thing you heard a few bars before. You can write code that mimics all that. Scientists are getting there.
We're starting to give these neural networks memory to be able to remember what it did in a piece of music and have more intention about how it wants to build on that.
Greg Corrado is working on the Google Brain Team, a deep learning artificial intelligence research project at the company.
And the second, much harder goal is to give the computer an ear, so to speak, to hear the music and decide if it sounds good or not.
Here's me playing a small riff onto a synthesizer at Google. Listen as the software takes what I've input and starts to play with it. You can tell it's not slavishly following my lead. So where is all this going? The team at Google won't tell you they're trying to replace human composers so much as they're trying to help human composers with a new set of tools. Again, Doug Eck.
I want the models to generate interesting music and interesting art so that you can try to do some new things.
Just like the advent of photography didn't end visual art, it shifted what artists wanted to say and how. Google has made its code open to the public to encourage people like music producer Andrew Huang to play with it and also to promote it. Huang got jazzed about the capacity of Google software to merge totally unrelated sounds to create new sounds.
What if we take this baby goat and combine that with that 3D printer? Oops, just summoned Satan.
Google smerged a bunch of new sounds, sent them back to Huang, and he arranged them into this song. Not bad. Not quite my cup of tea either, but a lot of what makes the music I like exciting to me is messy, idiosyncratic, and specific to time and place. Then again, wait a few years, and it's possible AI will be able to replicate that too. For Here and Now, I'm Rachel Myra.